through December 31st. And you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC raise $25,000 this year and make your gift today via CFRC.ca. Don't forget to tune in for daily news programming and subscribe to our news podcast to keep up with the latest in your community.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Fans of CBC's Murdoch Mysteries will have a chance to see the show and its music in a whole new way this month. On November 22nd, the Kingston Symphony presents Murder in F Major at the Kingston Grand Theatre. It's a hybrid concert, part live performance, part behind-the-scenes deep dive into one of Canada's longest-running TV dramas. I spoke with the show's composer, Robert Carley, and actor Thomas Craig, who plays Chief Constable Brackenreed, about what Kingston audiences can expect.
Well, it's a good question, actually, Christina, because a lot of people don't know what to expect, because it's not quite like going to go see a movie with the orchestra, which is very popular now, like going to see E.T. or Star Wars. And it's not quite a variety show. It's somewhere in between.
The evening unfolds in two parts, an interactive behind-the-scenes first half and then a full screening of the Murdoch Mysteries episode Murder in F Major, with the score performed live by the Kingston Symphony.
In the first half of the evening, Tom is our host, and he walks us through a lot of behind the scenes, an introduction to the world of Murdoch, for starters. And then we do some behind the scenes work. We do some repertoire from the symphony. We also, you know, shine a light on the Kingston Symphony and what they do. And maybe there's a couple surprises. Maybe Tom might sing a song. Can't tell you everything, but so it's a bit of a 45 minute first half with Tom walking us through these different things, a lot of laughs. And then the second half of the show, we screen the episode in its entirety with the live orchestra, this Kingston Symphony, performing the soundtrack.
We actually go through how Rob puts music to scenes. So we'll show a scene with no music, and then Rob breaks it down for the audience and shows how he puts the strings, the various orchestra pieces to it. It's very clever and it's very informative.
It's a fan favorite when we sort of, you know, see behind the scenes, see how things are made.
The episode Murder in F Major premiered in 2023 during the show's 16th season. And it's a fitting choice as Murdoch investigates the murder of Toronto Symphony director.
Well, it revolves around a murder of an orchestra member. Is it an orchestra member, Rob?
Yeah,
the general manager of the orchestra.
I won't be telling too much because it happens in the first scene. The general manager. The guy in charge. So you get to see, it's a backdrop for all of the bits, like the different players, the personnel manager, you know, the soloist, you know, they're implicated, all the different, the conductor, you know, all the different characters that make up a symphony orchestra, become our cast of characters.
There's a nice running gag through it where the character Crabtree keeps asking the orchestra leader what he actually does.
Yeah, what does a conductor do?
Which is what does a conductor do?
People often say that too. What exactly do you do up there waving your hands? It's good. It's clever.
Carley and Craig say these live events are also a rare chance to work directly together and get a glimpse into each other's worlds, something they don't get to witness while making the show.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I work in post-production, like in the different parts of a TV show. I don't get to really see the action on set or mm-hmm. work with the actors very rarely. So this to me is a bit of a treat because I get to work with the, you know, Tom or Yannick or whoever the host might be. And then they talk a bit about their experience on set. And it's just a nice, you know, intersection of those two worlds. I work in my studio in a vacuum by myself. I rarely get out of the house, so to speak. And these guys, they don't see the final. I see the final product like almost to me. That's where I start. I start at the end, and they are months behind me. So what Tom does, he'll go to work and he'll. Well, you tell me, Tom. You do a scene. It's kind of just fragments, and then you don't even.
Yeah, know. I don't see the final cut on that till it's on TV. Really.
This won't be Carly or Craig's first visit to Kingston, and the city is certainly familiar to Murdoch viewers as well, with its historic architecture making regular appearances in the series.
Well, I'll tell you what the first couple of episodes we did, we used to do read-throughs, and there was a character who escaped from Kingston, and I didn't know, I'd only been in Canada a couple of weeks, I didn't know there was a Kingston, and I'm thinking, Kingston, Jamaica, why are we dealing, I just thought it was Jamaica we were talking about, I didn't realise there was a Kingston 2 hours down the road from Toronto, so yeah, I never knew about Kingston, Ontario until I was here really, but it's a lovely town, been there quite a few times, it's a really sweet place to be, good restaurants, nice harbour.
I think a couple of our scripts have revolved around the prison,
yeah.
Like Tom mentioned. But they've actually, I think, did you guys shoot in the prison? I think you went into one of the...
There was a prison episode they went into, but I wasn't involved in that. But I've filmed in Kingston a few times. We met up on the streets.
It's pretty town. You know, a lot of Ontario towns, they didn't do a great job of preserving their downtown. You know, all those limestone buildings. I think only Kingston and maybe Guelph have done it well. A lot of them just tore it down and put up parking garages that, you know, serve a use, I guess, but they just don't have the aesthetic charm that Kingston has.
Murdoch in Concert has been staged across Canada, and Carly and Craig are excited to hear the Kingston Symphony's take on it. It's also a great opportunity for Murdoch fans to get to know their local orchestra.
Well, we've done a few of these, so I've worked with the Saskatoon Symphony Orchestra, the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, and the Halifax, Nova Scotia. So I'm looking forward to the Kingston Symphony Orchestra, see how they measure up.
Yeah, we're on a bit of a tour. Like, we do this show in different cities. We try to bring it to, you know, Murdoch Mysteries, as you know, Christine, is been around 19 seasons. It's got a big fan base from coast to coast. So we find that we can go into different communities and try to bring out the fans and often tell them about their local orchestra, because it's true that a lot of our audiences, I don't know what the measure is, maybe it's a third, have never been to the orchestra before. So it's an opportunity for, and this was one of the intentions of creating Murdoch in Concert by the executive producer, Christina Jennings. She really wanted to shine a light on the orchestras locally in the community using Murdoch, trying to get those fans, because there's a bit of a Venn diagram where people who go to the symphony often or watch the show, I mean, they all kind of, you know, they're all nerds, you might say.
Also notably, for the first time ever, the production will not be bringing their touring conductor. Instead, Kingston Symphony's own Evan Mitchell will lead the performance, making this a uniquely local edition of a show that's toured across the country.
And so we're going to try something different. We have a new conductor first time. So it's the homegrown conductor of the Kingston Symphony Orchestra. So it's pretty special.
Yeah, because we usually have a conductor who travels with us who steps in at all the different orchestras, don't we?
Yeah, Lucas Walden has done it many, many times with us. But Evan is really well known in the film world as being a really...
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's really going to be a lot of fun.
And if past shows are any indication, Carly and Craig say fans walk away with a whole new appreciation for the music behind Murdoch Mysteries.
Well, it's a thrill for me. I mean, I'm so lucky to have a Canadian TV show have this kind of platform where it can go out and it can be, you know, perform with these great orchestras is just a real thrill for me. It's just, I'm so excited. And I think the audience hears it too. I mean, I think everyone loves, you know, that experience of watching something that, and they kind of didn't even notice that there's music. I mean, they do, I guess, in a certain way, but you don't really, when you're watching a film or a television show, you shouldn't be listening to the music really that much. It's more of an emotional character or giving you emotional beats. But then when you have an opportunity to see it being performed, it kind of changes things a little bit. It's a nice, wonderful experience, I think, for people.
No, I do a meet and greet afterwards, so you get the feedback from the audience on the night. Do you know what I mean? And people are surprised how much they loved it, and they've never been to see a symphony orchestra before. Because, like Rob says, we've got that Murdoch fan base who don't necessarily go on to a symphony. So it's fantastic, that crossover.
Once again, Murder in F Major takes place November 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Kingston Grand Theatre. Tickets for the show and a meet and greet with Thomas Craig are both available at kingstonsymphony.ca. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Good afternoon. This is Henry Walker bringing you your Queens Campus Beat. A serious incident on Johnson Street has raised concerns about pedestrian safety in our student district. On November 7th, a 19-year-old was struck by a vehicle in a hit-and-run reported near Albert Street. The victim suffered major injuries, both internal and external, and was hospitalized in critical condition. According to police, debris at the scene suggests the vehicle may have been a white Toyota Tundra. A few days later, Kingston police located an abandoned vehicle matching the description on Perth Road. While the victim's condition has stabilized after surgery, they remain in hospital under careful care. Students and locals are voicing frustration. Some describe Johnson Street as a fast road despite the 50k an hour limit, with frequent jaywalking and aggressive driving. The AMS has issued statements urging caution and calling for better safety measures in the neighborhood. Turning to campus governance, the Queen's University Faculty Association, or QUFA, is pushing for ethical changes to its pension investments. A motion submitted by a divestment group within QUFA calls for the University Pension Plan, UPP, to divest from companies that manufacture weapons linked to what the motion describes as illegal occupations. The motion cites human rights concerns, pointing to regions including Palestine, Sudan, and Myanmar, and argues that such investments conflict with UPP's own ethical policies. A special meeting to consider the motion, originally scheduled for November 12th, was postponed and no new date has been set. QUFA leadership has acknowledged the delay, but campaigners say they are still waiting for clarity on next steps. In other news, Queen's researcher Dr. Sebastian Talbot is leading pioneering work at the intersection of neuroscience and cancer treatment. His lab has published new findings suggesting that sensory nerves within tumors may suppress the body's immune response, making some cancers resistant to immunotherapy. Specifically, his research points to a molecule called CGRP, a neurotransmitter from sensory neurons, which appears to dampen immune activity in the tumor microenvironment. Talbot and his team are now exploring whether drugs already used for migraines, which target CGRP receptors, could be repurposed to help cancer patients respond better to immunotherapy. This work is part of a growing field known as cancer neuroscience and has significant implications. By targeting nerves, it may be possible to enhance cancer treatment in patients who currently don't respond to standard immunotherapies. And finally, some sports excitement. Queen's Gaels football made history, capturing their 24th Yates Cup and their first since 2009. They defeated the defending champion Wilfrid Laurier Golden Hawks in a tight 30-27 game at Waterloo's University Stadium. Thank you for listening. Again, I've been Henry with your Queen's Campus Beat.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, November 17th, cloudy day, high of 4 degrees, dropping down to minus 2 overnight. Tuesday, November 18th, 4 degree high, partly sunny conditions, dropping down to minus 3 overnight. Wednesday, November 19th, another 4 degree day here in the city of Kingston, mix of sun and cloud, going to feel like 4 during the day, dropping down to minus 3 overnight. Thursday, November 20th, daytime high of 5 degrees, cloudy conditions here in the city of Kingston, only dropping down 2 degrees to 3 overnight. Friday, November 21st, warmest day of the week, high of 9 degrees, but there is a 90% chance of precipitation, which will cool things back down, as Saturday, November 22nd, we'll get a daytime high of 4 with partly sunny conditions, dropping down to just a shade below freezing overnight. Sunday, November 23rd, daytime high of 5, low of 0. And then the start of next week, Monday, November 24th, a 5-degree day with a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. As a reminder, we have the nighttime Santa Claus Parade and Tree Lighting Ceremony this Saturday, November 22nd, and there are some relevant road closures related to that. Market Street, Ontario to King, will be closed from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. King Street, Brock to Clarence, will be closed from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And Princess Street, Sir John A. McDonald to Ontario, will be closed from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Here are some non-holiday-related road closures. Aberdeen Street, William to Johnson, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert, Princess to Mac, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Earl, Collingwood to Toronto, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. King Street, Tragically Hip Way to Place d'Armes, is closed November 19th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Kingston Frontenacs school day game. King Street, Tragically Hip Way to Place d'Armes, is closed November 19th at 8 p.m. to November 21st at 8 a.m. for Blue Rodeo-related event parking and storage at Slush Puppy Place. Kings Court Avenue, concession to First, is closed until November 21st for gas main installation. Sydenham Road, Princess to Catarocway Woods, is closed November 17th and 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day to facilitate the safe operation of a crane lift. Raglan Road, Division to Main, is closed until November 30th from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day for gas main installation. Toronto Street, Durham to Park, is closed November 3rd to November 28th for installation of new water main, sanitary, and storm services. And Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work.
Hey, this is Ellie MacArthur, an intern from the Queen's Department of History, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's time for our concerts calendar for the week of November 17th to the 23rd. We've got some big names this week and a ton of intimate sets, so let's dive right in. On Monday, ease into the week with Michael K. Myers and Rick Flanagan's blues and folk music at the RCHA starting at 4:30 p.m. Also on Monday, Jonathan Jones performs at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m., the perfect time to unwind and enjoy the music. On Tuesday, join CFRC at our Drag Bingo fundraiser with local drag legend Tiffany Morgan at the Grad Club starting at 7 p.m. Come with friends for a fun night of competition and great prizes from CFRC and local sponsors. Advance tickets can be purchased for $5 on CFRC.ca or can be purchased at door for $10. We hope to see you there. Also on Tuesday, Tom's Tuesday Jam kicks off happy hour at the RCHA at 4 p.m. Jessica Wallowich returns for Roots Tuesdays at the Cove Inn starting at 5 p.m. She's an incredible singer-songwriter with lovely vocals and a folky tone. Paula Wood and friends play Time Out Bar at 6 p.m. And if you're looking to catch an open mic, Carrick McAllister hosts at Jersey Sports Bar at 7 p.m. And finally on Tuesday, catch the poetry and musical improv of Quirks of Human Nature at Time Out Bar starting at 7 p.m. Wednesday calls for Jam Night with Michael George at the RCHA from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. The iconic open mic at Hotel Wolf Island starts at 7:30 p.m., so hop on the ferry before it's too late. And at 5 p.m., catch Wings and Tunes open mic at the Cove Inn. And if you're looking for warm vocals and acoustics, Johnny Kerwin plays Time Out Bar and Christopher Jackson is at the Creekside Bar, both starting at 6 p.m. It's a big night on Thursday as Blue Rodeo's 40th anniversary tour hits the Slush Puppy Place at 8 p.m. with support from Adam Baldwin. If you're heading to the show, boy, am I jealous. Blue Rodeo encapsulates Canadian rock and is sure to be a night of nostalgia and sing-alongs. Also on Thursday, the Broom Factory presents Robin Ottolini and Dave Sampson at 7 p.m. Nick McLean's Snaggle Jazz Fusion with the Alley Bros is at the RCHA starting at 7. And there's a stacked bill at Hotel Wolf Island with Hugh Christopher Brown, Joey Wright, and Jason Mercer at 7:45, followed by Bad Tractor's Rock and Roll and Psychedelic Country at 8:30 p.m. Thursday at Tommy's is a night for indie lovers with Bologna, Colorado and the Meringues playing at 8 p.m. And finally, catch Sarah Jane Riley at the Toucan starting at 9:30 p.m. Heading into the weekend, Songwriter Showcase is a must-see on Friday, featuring Steve G, Brian Crow, Dave Debenham, Keith Whittle, Rick Melanson, Sonia Bergen. This is a unique opportunity to hear songwriters swap and interpret songs. The event takes place at a pizza pie and cheese house and starts at 6 p.m. Also on Friday, Virginia DeVegas and Noel play the Broom Factory starting at 7:30 p.m. And Happy Hour TGIF is back at the RCHA with Kent Nicholson at 4 p.m., followed by Pat Temple and the Hi-Lo Players at 8 p.m., with music sure to get you out of your seat and into the groove. Luella brings alternative indie to the Isabel Bader Center at 8 p.m. Pearl, a Janis Joplin experience, is at the Spire at 7:30 p.m. And the Bon Evans Band takes the Toucan stage at 10:30 p.m., following Chris Morris's afternoon set at 5. Saturday is for country, and the Buckle has just the thing to get those boots kicking with Ambush and Tracy Drinka at 9 p.m. Painted Moons takes the stage at the RCHA at 8 p.m. and catch the independent music series with Courtney Kane and Abby Stewart at the Creekside Bar starting at 7 p.m. Junk House plays the Spire at 7:30 p.m. as a part of the Ontario Festival of Small Halls, and swing over to Hotel Wolf Island for 8:30 p.m. to see Noah Malcolm and Leah Holtum. To close out the week, Lemon Bucket Orchestra's Fall Into Chaos Tour is at the Broom Factory Sunday at 3 p.m. The vibes are Balkan Punk and Big Energy. The Strombellas hit the Kingston Grand Theater at 7:30 p.m. with Schoolhouse, and wind down after a long week with Acoustic Sundays at Spearhead Brewery with Will Turnbull and Logan Brown at 2 p.m. Thanks so much for joining me this week. If you have a concert that you'd like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. You're tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Ellie MacArthur, a CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, and here are the events calendar for November 17th to 23rd. Some iconic community events take place this week, and Kingston is buzzing, so let's begin. As a part of their ongoing local programming, at 5:45, check out the screening room to see the film Scene. This documentary explores the transformative power of personal healing for parents and its effect on child brain development. Tickets can be bought through the screening room's website. Also on Monday at 6:45 p.m., the Queen's Swing Dance Club holds a fundraiser at Wallace Hall, supporting Trellis HIV and Community Care Center, featuring a beginner-friendly lesson in social dance energy. Euchre Night and Raffle happens at the Toucan starting at 7 p.m., a classic downtown pub night, and at 8 p.m. catch trivia at Something in the Water Brewing. The Kingston Public Market runs Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Spring Market Square. This market has local art and goods and is perfect moving into the holiday season. Indigenous drumming takes place at Trellis HIV and Community Care Center at 1 p.m. and is open to all and rooted in community healing. Also on Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. is the Community Song Circle at Kingston Community House. Wednesday is Geographic Information Systems Day, and there is a watch party at Stauffer Library from 1 to 4:30 p.m. with demos, talks, and more. At 5 p.m., Celebrating Trans Made Film and Media screens The Great Tit is a Bird, The Switch, and Reviving the Roost at Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch. At 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, theater lovers can catch I Take Your Hand in Mine at the Kingston Grand Theater with intimate staging and emotional performances. And on Wednesday, you know what that means, it's midweek karaoke with karaoke at Jersey Sports Bar starting at 7 p.m., Timeout Bar starting at 8 p.m., and of course, The Mansion at 9 p.m. On Thursday, November 20th at 6 p.m., The annual gathering, Transgender Day of Remembrance Vigil, takes place at Kingston Frontenac Public Library Central Branch. 1984 was a warning, not a guidepost. The world we're in, with the Honorable Bob Ray Privy Council, is in Sutherland Hall at noon. If you're in the mood for some theater, Theater Kingston presents I Take Your Hand in Mine at Kingston Grand Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. And Guys and Dolls Musical is at Le Sesame Theater starting at 7:30 p.m. as well. If you're a quiz head and looking for some trivia, you've got some choices on Thursday with trivia at Riverhead at 7 p.m. and Queen's Pub at 9 p.m. If you missed out on midweek karaoke, don't worry. Karaoke at Tiernan Og begins at 9 p.m. on Thursday. On Friday, catch Bitchin' Drag Bingo at Carlo Estates Winery at 6 p.m. Drag, wine, and prizes. I couldn't think of anything better. Saturday, November 22nd, is a big Kingston holiday, as at 5 p.m., the Kingston Santa Claus Parade rolls down Princess Street with marching bands, floats, lights, and more. The parade moves downtown, and at 7 p.m., the city will hold its tree lighting ceremony at Springer Market Square with hot drinks, music, and a festive vibe. Keeping those holiday vibes going, the Cove Inn hosts a Santa Claus Parade Hoedown at 5 p.m. with Henry Norwood and Sean McCullough. And late night karaoke at Time Out Bar starts at 9 p.m. On Sunday, to wrap up the week, it's late night karaoke at the Toucan starting at 10:30 p.m. And that's it for your events calendar for the week. Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you have an event that you'd like to add to our online or on-air event calendar, please reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt or sweet, sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
If you enjoy genres like slowcore, post-hardcore, noise rock, math rock, shoegaze, or anything like that, tune into Past Tense 9 p.m. Wednesdays on CFRC. It also airs 9 p.m. Mondays on luradio.ca and 9 p.m. Thursdays on cjlo.com.
Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
Ryan. Irondale Transitional Housing announces its first annual Christmas Toy Drive. Running from November 1st to December 10th, Irondale invites members of the community to bring a new unwrapped toy to the following locations in Kingston from Monday to Friday, 10 till 4. 146 Clergy Street East, 494 Fieldstone Drive, or 669 Victoria Street. Toys will be distributed by Loving Hands Kingston, supporting 80 agencies across Kingston. If you'd like more information, contact Mandy, programs at ryandale.ca, or Patty, operations director at ryandale.ca.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent, Queen's alumnus and community member, host of Numbers with Wings on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. How did I get into this? Funnily enough, it was at a fundraising a couple of years ago, doing a dad joke contest with DJ Over Easy, then a couple of guest spots on his show, and they gave me my own show. Nothing beats the thrill of a live broadcast. I like to promote new Canadian and local music while also sharing songs from my past. Our funding drive runs from November to December 31st. Donations can be made via CFRC.ca. Thank you for your support of CFRC 101.9 FM.
Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark here on CFRC 101.9 FM. If you've been tuning in the last couple of weeks, you may have noticed that we have a theme going on. We are celebrating or challenging ourselves, however you want to look at it, with National Novel Writing Month, historically known as NaNoWriMo. And while the original contest no longer is active, people who are still practicing, taking November as an opportunity to flex their creative muscles, get themselves into a routine and push themselves and see where they can get with their writing. And things that we've looked at so far include strategy, looking at your calendar and developing a synopsis for a story you want to write, as well as getting ideas for stories. Last week, we looked at developing the world of your story and how that can complement and push your story forward. And this week, we're going to get to know your protagonist or your main character. It is needless to say that the main character of your story is very important. Your reader is going to be spending the most time with. In general, those are the characters that your reader is meant to care about. They're meant to be invested in. So how do you do that? By investing in those characters yourself. Spend some time getting to know your main character. If you have a sense of their personality, motivations, likes and dislikes, you'll have a much easier time moving them through your story. So, how do we do this? Create a backstory for your character. You'll notice that a lot of the tips that we discussed this week are complementary to the ideas that we were looking at last week with world building. And there's a reason for that, because as we mentioned last week, your world is a character in your story. Obviously, your protagonist is a major character in your story. How can you make your character interesting both for you, so that you'll want to continue developing them, and for your reader? Consider things like giving them some secrets and private hardships. Maybe no one but that character and the reader knows, but when you let your reader in on a secret, you make it that much more interesting. And these things will help your character read as three-dimensional. This is important to consider even if you're writing a quote-unquote unlikable character. You want to know what made them that way and what makes them tick now. What path led them to be who they are, to act the way they do, to value or have disdain for certain things. You don't need to like them, but you should be able to understand where they are coming from, even if their reason is problematic. A good example of an unlikable character that is well developed for me would be Anakina Schofield with Martin John. I remember talking with Anakina when this book came out, and Martin John is about as unlikable as you could imagine. His attitude and behavior towards women was very problematic, and she was afraid when she wrote it that people were not going to want to read the book. How can you read something with someone who is so unlikable? But what she did was create a character that was so three-dimensional that even though you despised his actions, she revealed enough that you could understand in his head why he was doing what he was doing. She wasn't being an apologist. She wasn't trying to excuse anything he was doing, but what she did was let you know where this perversion or where this twisted motivation was coming from. This character that you didn't like and didn't want to like,
but could somehow understand. So here are some things to consider as you are delving into your character. We talked about creating a world Bible last week. This week we're talking character Bible. This is the starting point, at the very least, of who your character is. Here are some questions that you want to be able to answer about your character. What is your character's motivation? Is it love, money, revenge, loyalty? What do they want? Does your character seek fame? Is it justice, friendship, fortune? What is holding them back? Is this barrier physical, psychological, financial? Is it another person holding them back? Or is it a combination of circumstances? What do you want your character to learn by the end of the story? How will they grow or change? And that can be for the better or for the worse. And why? And finally, what does your character value? What lines would they never cross? Who would they never betray? And if you're challenging this, what would make them break this rule? So those are some sort of motivational questions to help you get into the mindset and drive behind your character. Other things that you can include in your character Bible are more factual name, basic demographics, their history, including parents, siblings, where they come from, where they're living now, their ambitions for the future, their moral code, as we discussed before, and then finally, dialogue. And dialogue is both external speech patterns, like favorite sayings, a speech impairment, idioms they might use or slang, and it's also internal thoughts. How do they talk to themselves? What's going on in their mind? I'm going to give you an exercise here, and it's when I talk about with people often, because it just hit me as being a really brilliant and really accessible activity. And this is from David Mitchell, author of Cloud Atlas. This is an exercise to get you inside the head of your characters. And it's simply imagine your main character writing a letter. Imagine them writing a letter to their mother, to their boss, their best friend, their enemy, etc. What would they say? And how would the tone and message differ depending on who they're talking to? So this can obviously help you add depth to your character and discover some of their idiosyncrasies. Consider, like, maybe they get tongue-tied when they're trying to talk to their crush. Maybe they only reveal their true selves to their best friend. Or maybe they only reveal their true self to strangers. How can you incorporate these nuances into your story, and does it change their motives or actions? So we're going to take 10 minutes now, and I want you to consider your character, have them write a short letter to three different characters explaining why they're not going home for the holiday, and we'll come back.
Love you.
All right, so we're back from that exercise, and I'm going to throw you back into another one. I hope that helped you get into a mindset a little bit and see some differentiations that are within your character, how they interact with different characters, and how that reveals their internal dialogue and motivations. So the next one we're going to do is simply a day in the life of, insert your character's name here. So if you were imagining your character having a mundane day, okay, it's Wednesday when this is airing, so imagine they're Wednesday. What does your character do? When do they wake up? What do they eat? Who do they interact with? Where do they go? And in tandem with this, ask yourself, what are they thinking? What is their internal dialogue like? Are they self-deprecating, really sensitive, cocky, or is there a numbness there? So this can be both as they are navigating that quiet time in, for example, the early morning when no one else is around them, and maybe if they're a parent or they have a busy household, that could be like 5 minutes in the bathroom before someone else knocks on the door. But even so, it's like, what are they thinking as they wake up? How are they feeling? How are they moving? Are their movements easy, light? Are they heavy? Are they feeling excited and hopeful about the day? Are they feeling depressed or defeated? So think about those things. And just again, imagine the most ordinary day in your character's life and what they would be like. And we'll come back after about 5 minutes. give you a couple of tips here, and then I'll leave you with a final exercise. If you struggle, and I do, with coming up with names for your character, because it can feel like a very weighty decision, one thing that you can do that's really simple is make a list of random names that you can throw into your story when needed. Cut up names and have them in a hat, or a list on a page and pick a number at random. What this does is help prevent you from losing momentum when you're otherwise in a good rhythm, because you can always go back and change the name later, but at least you have a placeholder. The caveat being, if you're using a placeholder, make sure you remember who that character is, to write down a who's who, or use a post-it note to jot down each character and their distinguishing characteristics so that you have their name and personalities accessible at a glance. If you're a visual person, it can be helpful to have those post-it notes, maybe draw a little doodle of the character so that when you're thinking of that character, you can look up and see it. If you'd prefer, you can create a nice Excel spreadsheet for yourself and have categories with different elements that you want to consider in your story. Another little exercise is something that you can do later today or throughout your week when you are trying to work on external dialogue. So the conversations that your character is having with other characters. Look for examples from real life. If you have a teen protagonist, watch videos of real teens talking. If it's a historical novel, you can read letters or diaries from that period. If you want to have interactions with a bunch of different people, do things like sit at a coffee shop and eavesdrop on snippets of conversation, go to the mall, walk, listen in the food court there. You're going to have a lot of people walking by. And just make note of idioms or slang, speech patterns, and who sounds shy, who sounds confident, who sounds impatient. Is there someone grumbling at the worker at a fast food shop? And think about like what in their voices gives you these clues, because you can use that in your description later. Podcasts would be another good source for this. They're usually at least a little bit produced, but they are conversational and can help you get an idea of what spontaneous conversation is. I would also just warn a little bit about going too heavy into idiom and slang, because those can make your story feel dated. So final exercise for today, interview your character. Imagine you are doing a feature on your character's life. What questions would you ask, and what would you notice about them? Imagine they're walking into the room. What do they look like as they're walking in? How do they say hello? Cheerful? Reserved? Do they say hello? Do they sit down? Where do they choose to sit? How are they seated in their chair? Do they seem tense, or are they leaning back? Are they relaxed? Do they seem interested in being there? And then start asking questions. Where are they from? Do they have any siblings? What do they do for work? Do they seem happy or annoyed with the questions that you're asking? Do you feel like you're getting the truth out of them? What are they holding back? How long have they lived where they live? What was their childhood like? Do they have many friends? Are they in a relationship? What was their proudest accomplishment? What is a source of shame for them? You can gear it towards the kinds of things that you're trying to draw out or emphasize in your story. So if they are, for example, an unreliable character, imagine as they walk into the room, are they there on time? Are they meeting your gaze? Are they well-dressed, rumpled? Do they look stressed? Are they evasive with their answers, making signs that make you think that they're not telling you the truth? And what would those be? So those are elements that you can add into your story as those characters navigate through your world.
The age of surf sounds.
Thank you again for tuning in to Word Labs Out Loud. I encourage you to check out the other episodes in this month-long series if you haven't already.